Blog Talk Radio.
And good evening, everyone. This is another edition of the Gregory Crawford on Sports Biz Show. We do this show every Tuesday night at 10 p.m. Pacific Daylight Time. And it is the first of the month, so that means we get the big thrill of having Jovan Alford, one of the greatest rising media stars in the country, on tonight, all the way from Philadelphia. But before we get to Jovan, I am Greg Crawford. I host this show each week. You can follow me on Twitter at WC Hoops. And, of course, we love sports business. We love the world of sports. Sports is a huge part of my life. It always has been. And it allows me to meet quality people like Jovan Alford, who's doing a great job back in Philadelphia. There's no one that knows as much about the Philadelphia Eagles as this guy, or Philadelphia sports in general. He joins us at the first Tuesday of each month. And Jovan, how are you doing tonight?
I'm doing good. Always glad to be on every first of the month. I'm glad to be back on the show.
Jovan, we always start out with one topic, correct? And it ain't the 76ers. It's the Philadelphia Eagles. And has Chip Kelly shut up a few of the critics, even though it's still preseason?
Pretty much so. I think everybody's now more intrigued than ever before. After this third preseason game against the Green Bay Packers, which in the NFL, the third preseason game is kind of like your dress rehearsal game for the regular season. Everybody was pretty surprised at how well this offense was clicking. It was like, as somebody said to me, this is like some arena football type number that they're putting up in the preseason. And it's true. In the third preseason game, it kind of showed what Chip Kelly really wants in a quarterback, and that's a quarterback that's accurate. He doesn't need him to be like a runner, but if he's mobile and he's accurate, like what he had at Oregon with Marcus Mariota, mobile and accurate. It's the same thing when he's getting with Sam Bradford. Bradford's not the most mobile quarterback, but he's accurate, so it just makes the offense click, and the offense looks fast. So I definitely think he has silenced some of the critics, but we'll see, because the big time begins on Monday night in a couple of weeks at 6:55, so we'll see what happens.
Jovan, you know, speaking of Oregon, I'm in Oregon. I'm in Portland, Oregon. You're in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. Do people still refer to kind of things that Chip Kelly did at Oregon from time to time, as you just did? Because, you know, he really came out of nowhere replacing Mike Bellotti at Oregon, and people were really wondering. He had a tough opening game. I think that was the punch that was thrown, you know, in that game by one of his star players and Boise State, and it didn't look good. And then they just steamrolled everybody after that.
Yeah, everybody still references I think even now they still reference Oregon because the play that they're seeing, a lot of people say, you know, this is mimicking what they do at Oregon. The routes that these wide receivers are running, it looks like Oregon. The way that Chip Kelly had his running backs at Oregon, he didn't have running backs that would go east and west and do all the dancing and the juking behind the line. It was north-south runners, and that's what he had at Oregon, north-south running backs, and got the same thing with the Eagles. He also had, what a lot of people don't understand, at Oregon, he also had a stable of running backs. And we saw that even last year, even with Chip Kelly not being there, they have a stable running back. The same thing here, the Eagles got a stable of running backs. So there's definitely a lot of similarities where people say, you know, this looks kind of just like what he did back in Oregon.
And Jovan, let me ask you that it was always kind of the thing at Oregon. They had to outscore everybody, which they really did a great job of doing that. But now this is the NFL defense for the Eagles. Are you happy with it? Because you're an expert on football and all sports. Are you happy with it? Or is it just that once again a Chip Kelly team has got to outscore everybody?
The defense, the first 2 years Kelly was here, the defense wasn't good at all, and they would have to win games and shootouts. You know, that's never the best way to do it. I mean, in college you can get away with winning in shootouts because, you know, losing won't be lopsided, but the NFL you can't win games lopsided because It isn't good for the heart as a fan. I'll tell you that much. But this year, I definitely think that the defense is going to be much better, where they won't have to be in a lot of shootouts. Because one thing this defense is doing, and I know this is only preseason, but what is the first team defense is able to do is cause turnovers. And that's the and for a Chip Kelly offense, if you get him the ball in short field on a turnover, he'll run up the score really quickly in the blink of an eye. You'll be down 14 or 21-0 in the first quarter.
Jovan, the NFL is not dumb by any means. It's a billion-dollar business. It's taken a few whacks in the last couple of years, but it seems to have recovered greatly. But they're not dumb in their scheduling. Mariota against Jameis Winston to open the season. What do you think is going to take place between those two rookie quarterbacks as the year unfolds? Who will come out better? Which one of those, in your opinion, will come out better?
Oh, man, this is a tough question. Well, I'll say, first of all, the game will not be as lopsided as the national semifinal was last college football season. The game will not be lopsided between the two. I think right now, currently, and I'm sorry to all the Oregon fans that are out there listening, I just want to apologize before I say this, but I really think Jameis Winston is going to have a better season than Marcus Mariota. That's not to say that Jameis is a better quarterback than Mariota. I love Mariota's skills. I think for the notion that dual-threat quarterbacks like Mariota can't succeed in the NFL, I think that blasphemous. But I think for right now this season, I think Winston is going to be better because Winston has a better defense than Mariota, and he also has more better veteran offensive weapons around him, especially at the running back and wide receiver positions, to make his job a little bit easier.
Who do you think will win the Super Bowl right now this year?
Dang, throwing me on the spot here. Who I think will win the Super Bowl right now? If I had to choose, if Jordy Nelson didn't tear his ACL, then I definitely would have said the Packers. I would say the Patriots, but I'm not sure about them. It's really tough, but if I had to go out on a limb, I wouldn't be surprised. I really wouldn't be surprised if the Indianapolis Colts went to the Super Bowl and won. I really wouldn't be surprised if they went to the Super Bowl.
Do you see that the Denver Broncos having a big year? Tons of Denver Bronco fans in Portland, Oregon, and we don't do the show just because of that, because we're around the world. We've got people listening in different countries and everything, but so many people in Portland, Oregon love the Broncos. They love the Broncos and 49ers here, Jovan, as much as they love the Seahawks, even though the Seahawks are the closest NFL team.
That's odd. I didn't know that. I didn't actually know that about the Portland, football fan base up there. I thought it was more like a predominantly college football state with Oregon State and how successful those programs have been. But that's kind of shocking that they like San Francisco and Denver. I can see the correlation to Seattle. Like you said, they're closer. It's really shocking to me that they have the correlation to the Broncos and the 49ers. Which isn't bad because both teams have been successful in the past few seasons, but that's shocking. I didn't know that.
Well, the one thing about it, Jovan, is, before the Seahawks came into form, San Francisco was the closest team, and that kind of never leaves for generations. And it's easy to get to San Francisco, and a lot of people used to go down to games because you could actually get a seat in Kezar Stadium when they went through their bad years. But do you see the Broncos as a Super Bowl threat this year?
No, I don't see it, and I don't see it because of Peyton Manning. I think Manning is now in the time of his career where he's getting up there in age. He's 39 years old, and what we saw last season with his arm strength, it didn't look good. And we saw as it got colder, The ball did not have enough zip on his passes to get the ball through cold air. I don't know about that defense. I think the defense can do well for Denver. But, again, I don't know what Gary Kubiak is going to do any differently than what he has done in his past stops, even in when he was the last time he was the head coach at the Texans. The Texans didn't go far in the playoffs with Kubiak. I think the farthest they went was, like, the AFC divisional round. That's the farthest they went. But, I mean, with Peyton Manning, you can do anything. But at the same time, I don't know how many, I don't know how much gas he has left in the tank to go a full 16 games, especially behind the offensive line right now that's not the best offensive line in football.
Javon, okay, I'm going to keep going. I'm going to keep throwing these fastballs at your, junk balls. Who's going to win the World Series this year? And it won't be the Philadelphia Phillies. We know that, but. Do you agree with me that the Houston Astros are going to win the World Series?
I could see it. I really could see it. I could see it, and it's funny that you mentioned that because I think you probably saw this. I think it was either this offseason or last offseason they had the Astros. Sports Illustrated did that Astros cover saying they were going to win the World Series 2017, and now look at them this year. They're they definitely are a threat to win it this year. I mean. Look at their starting rotation. I mean, if there's anything that the San Francisco Giants and the Kansas City Royals showed this last year, it was just that you need timely offense. But if you have great pitching, great starting pitching, and you can shorten the game that way, then you'll be good. And I think that for the Astros, that's going to be the key. If they can get Kuchel and Scott Kazmir and Lance McCullers and Colin McHugh, they can get all these guys rolling. Get these guys rolling and keep them rolling into postseason. I think they're going to be fine. It's going to be up to the bats because the Astros are a team that they're kind of they kind of remind me of the Phillies back when they were in their heyday here in the late 2000s when they was making the World Series run. They depended on the home run a lot, and now in the postseason home runs don't come very often, but in Minute Maid Park they can come, and they have a lot of talent on that baseball diamond. I mean. Carlos Correa, Jose Altuve, I think all those guys are just stars in the making on that team. And, if they get the timely hit and the timely home runs, there's no reason. With this pitching staff, there's no reason why they can't win the World Series and literally shock everybody in baseball this year.
And I think they're going to do it. Now I'm going to really throw you a cut fastball. Who's going to win the D-League next year in the NBA D-League? I do want to know, what do you think? I'm going out on a limb here, Javon, and I'm going to say, believe it or not, that the Atlanta Hawks will win the NBA championship next year. How's that?
I can see it. I can see that too. I mean, let's see, Atlanta, they didn't really lose that much. This offseason, I mean, they lost DeMar Carroll to the Raptors in free agency, but that's really it. They didn't have that much turnover. They returned the same team. They add another shooter and a two guard in Tim Hardaway via draft night in a trade. Add him to Kyle Korver, Schroeder, Jeff Teague. Already got playmakers there. Their bench is really solid. They're like almost like the San Antonio Spurs of the East a little bit. So they can definitely be in the being the championship hunt. I mean, we don't know what's going to happen to Cleveland because there's a lot of contractual stuff going on there with Tristan Thompson, Kyrie Irving, who our great friend Chris D. Haynes reported a couple of days ago. Kyrie Irving is going to miss some time, and possibly will be back by time January. So that's going to take a hit for them. We don't know if we're going to get out the Miami Heat this year. The Bulls, we don't know what we're going to see from them with Fred Hoiberg as their coach. So right now, you could say the Hawks can win the NBA title because they're the most stable team right now. That literally returns everybody. There wasn't a lot of turnover. And for a championship team, that's what you need. Not a lot of turnover, return the same guys. We all got the same goal, and we all got the same mission to the next season.
Yeah, very good. It is kind of neat with Chris Haynes there covering the team, and you and I know him, and I worked with him out here in Portland, and he's doing a fabulous job with that. I want to ask you, we have the Portland Thunder out here, a great owner in Terry Emmert, as you know, just let their coach go, Hoensy, veteran, yep. Arena Football League, Coach. What there's a little few problems with Arena Football. Do you still see a bright future for that? It's been around since 1986. Is it going to continue to be around another, 10, 30 years?
30 years, that's a stretch. 10 years, that's definitely a stretch. I mean, Greg, I tell you this right now. I do a show with another guy that covers me. I'm covering Arena Football extensively, and there's a lot of issues going down with the league right now. I mean, for Portland to get rid of Hennessy, that was shocking just because of Portland was going through a lot of injuries. They didn't have Darren Thomas, and they still made the playoffs despite some issues, which led to, as we know, the Las Vegas Outlaws, who was owned by Vince Neil, and the New Orleans Voodoo ceasing operations this season, which totally is not a good look for the league. And then that, because the league came in with 12 teams this year, got rid of them two ceased operations, so now they were down to 10, as it looks like. But then news came out a couple weeks ago that the Spokane Shock and Spokane are leaving the Arena Football League to go to the IFL. So they're leaving. So now the league's only down to 9 teams right now. Haven't really heard anything on the expansion front. I mean, expansion, I heard a lot of rumblings about San Antonio possibly getting their team back, Chicago, a few murmurs. But right now the league is in some real trouble because you lost nine. You're now down to 9 teams. You lost 3 this year. You lost 3 last year with Pittsburgh, San Antonio, and then Iowa, the Barnstormers, leaving from the Arena Football League to the Indoor Football League. So there's a lot of trouble going down with this league right now. And another part of it was attendance, too. New Orleans and Las Vegas, they couldn't fill up the seats there at all. And it was a disgrace to watch those games sometime on ESPN3. And the arena wouldn't even be halfway filled. So the league is in a serious amount of trouble. They need solid teams and solid markets and solid owners, or we could be heading into some trouble in the next couple of years.
Now, what is the league like, which I don't follow that league, Jovan? You do. You're so broad-based, and that's what makes you successful as a journalist. In the Indoor Football League, what makes that league attractive for Spokane to leave? And you mentioned it a couple times in your last dissertation.
Yeah, what makes the Indoor Football League more better is because it seems there's not so much of issues, because teams like Spokane were still, because the owner before Scott Peterra, there was a lot of debt that the league had to pay for teams, for other teams that left, like Utah Blades and other former franchises that left the league or had to cease operations. So teams like Spokane had to front the bill for those organizations. So they were just like, we don't want to do that. And they wanted to have more freedom, and the IFL does that. I mean, Iowa left the AFL last season to go over there just because of travel expenses. For Iowa to travel to Philly to play a game, then New Orleans, it was just too much for them travel-wise. Now they play in the IFL where they're going to Tri-Cities or Cedar Rapids, you know, really good for them. And it's the same for Spokane. Spokane wasn't an original AFL team. They started out in the lower division of the AFL, the AF2, when that was around. So it pretty much, it definitely cuts down a lot of travel. And Spokane and Iowa, you know, those are like small market AFL teams that will be big, successful markets in the IFL.
Very good. How can people get a hold of you, Jovan? We're not done yet, but I don't want to forget. What's the best way to follow you on Twitter and your Total Sports Live, your great blog and your webpage and all that other good stuff?
Yeah, definitely. People can follow me on Twitter at Jovan10, that's JOVAN10, and then they can follow Total Sports Live on Twitter as well, at Total Sports Live. And then, like Greg said, just make sure you just keep on checking out TotalSportsLive.com. It's a lot of information from Philly sports. We got Philly sports tabs, a college tab for college sports like basketball and football, and a national tab for everything that happens outside of Philly. So you got all your sports and information all right there in one spot on the blog, one network, TotalSportsLive.com.
Govan, you're going to have to help me here because I got home late tonight. I love doing the program with you. But was there a decision on the Tom Brady case today?
There was no decision on the Brady case. There was no settlement. So with no settlement, it looks like we could be heading for Brady being suspended for 4 games because I think Brady isn't going to budge, and I think the NFL isn't going to budge. It's like two heavyweights in a boxing ring. Who's going to blink first? And neither is blinking first. So I think we're definitely heading towards the suspension. The suspension of 4 games being handed down very, very soon. And that's not good for the Patriots because they're going to depend on second-year guy Jimmy Garoppolo to lead the way there in New England. So it's not good for them. But it seems like we're heading down the 4-game suspension route because nobody is blinking.
What would you have done to Tom Brady? Obviously, he has some culpability in this. There's a lot of evidence. I don't know how many games he should have been suspended for. What would you have done being an expert in the sporting arena?
What I would have did to Brady, I would have still suspended him. I still would have gave him a suspension, but not the 4 games. Because the 4 games, what the 4 year? The NFL, they have no kind of standard for what a 4-game suspension is because we see the league substance abuse is 4 games. So you're trying to tell me deflating footballs is the same thing as the league substance abuse policy? It doesn't make sense. And then you got guys like Greg Hardy, domestic violence, his suspension was up to 10 games and reduced to 4. So you're trying to tell me deflating footballs is on the same level as domestic violence? It doesn't make sense. So I wouldn't have went 4 games for Brady. I would at least went 2, maybe a fine, but that's about it. Nothing too major. I mean, it's sports. I'm pretty sure like a lot of quarterbacks have been saying all quarterbacks like their football a different type of way. Some of them like them a little bit underinflated. Some of them like them a little bit overinflated. So that's what I would have did. But the NFL in general needs to come up with a standard of suspension when it comes to suspensions because all these 4 games and then all different offenses don't equal up to the same crime.
And, you know, it's a rather bizarre, Jovan. You're back in one of the great media capitals in all the world for sports, Philadelphia, the entire East Coast. I mean, I'm a West Coast guy, been that way all my life. I'm happy out here, but we just flat don't have the people out here like is packed into the Northeast sector. And what's the take there? And I asked you this before, kind of, but you know, what does the media think that about this situation for the most? And also, well, I want to ask you specifically about, Robert Kraft and Roger Goodell were apparently very close, and he turned it to Robert Kraft to support him. Do you think the issue here is that Brady failed to cooperate? It's not the crime, but the cover-up?
Yeah, I definitely think it's a cover-up. Because if you have, and that's just any in general, if you have nothing to hide, then just cooperate. But when you don't cooperate and you destroy cell phones by breaking up, trust me, I've never, ever heard somebody destroy a cell phone, like breaking them up and anything like that. I mean, we all have cell phones. I mean, if you're changing your phone, you're pretty much just cutting it off and you're just storing your old phone somewhere. Breaking it and destroying it, that makes it a little bit suspicious to me.
Well, what do you think what is the take back there about are Robert Kraft and Goodell ever going to patch things up, or does Goodell have so much support from the other teams that feel like that Patriots, rightly or wrongly, I don't know the answers, might have been getting by with stuff for years?
I think Goodell and Kraft's relationship, I think it is definitely strained right now. Will it ever be as tight as they were? Probably not. I think they'll be cool again, but I don't think they'll be tight like they were. I think the other owners are probably happy about this, you know, because the Patriots who had the Deflategate and Spygate, you know, the league is finally cracking down on them because, you know, if this happened to anybody else, what would be the penalty for them? So I think some of the owners are happy that the league is cracking down because it shows, you know, you might got away with Spygate, but you can't get away with Deflategate.
All right, Jovan, I'm going to leave you with the bombshell tonight. How does this sound? I think that the Oregon Ducks are going to win the national championship this year, but not in football. I think they're going to win the national championship in basketball. How do you like that?
That is shocking, but I won't say that's far-fetched just because the strongest teams in the Pac-12, Arizona and UCLA, lost a lot of talent. And the only thing, only person that Oregon really lost the talent-wise was Joseph Young. So without a doubt, Oregon can make that run. It's just going to be just how we see every year in college basketball, how you start your season off non-conference-wise and then how you finish up in conference play. If you play well on those two ends of the schedule and then do average to good in your middle part of your season, there's no reason why Oregon can't be up there and make a Final Four run. We've seen it every year. There's always that one team that does it. Why can't it be Oregon?
And, Javon, I say this every time we're on, we're making a huge mistake not working together more closely, but we're both so busy. It's not an excuse. It's a reason, factual, that it's tough to get something together. But who knows? We may break something out big time one of these days.
Oh, yeah, definitely. We definitely might have to, you know, do something one of these days. Like I said, I enjoy coming on once early in the month every Tuesday. Like you said, we both are busy people flying around here trying to get things done. Like I said, we probably definitely can work on something. But like I said, we're busy men right now.
No question. Good night, Javon. Good night, listening audience. Don't forget to make your free throws. Great job tonight by Javon Alford. Follow me on Twitter at Javon Ken, and he is a terrific follow. Good night, everyone, and thank you for listening.